This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good afternoon to everybody, and thank you for tuning in. As usual, we have a lot to talk about, and what's happening with our federal government is just incredible. I was at a meeting yesterday with a well-known economist and author, Kevin Freeman, who will be my guest on this show sometime in the next week or two. And so I hope everybody will tune in and listen to him, because he's the one that's been talking about how vulnerable this country is to cyber attacks, to EMP attacks, and that's electric magnetic pulse attacks. Now, those are caused basically by a nuclear weapon being set off, or just an EMP weapon, doesn't have to be nuclear necessarily, EMP weapon being set off in our atmosphere over our country. If it's at 100 miles up, for example, it would knock out about a third to a half of the electric grids in this country. And it would also knock out your car. Your electronic starter would be fried. You wouldn't be able to drive your car until you had it replaced. And most of them out there that could be used to replace it would also have been fried. So basically, transportation would cease. It would also knock out all the electric grid. It would knock out the banks. You would not be able to withdraw money from your bank because, you know, I've talked to bankers, and everything is computerized at this point. Everything is electronic. They have no way. They have no paper files that would even tell them that you are a customer at that bank, much less how much money you have in that bank. So if the electric grid goes down, and we're not talking about the grid going down for a day or two. We're talking about the grid going down for a year or two, or maybe more. The banks would not be able to access your account. They wouldn't be able to give you any money because they wouldn't know if you had any money. They wouldn't be able to transfer any money anywhere. Your credit cards would be useless. Your debit cards would be useless. You couldn't write checks because the banks couldn't process the checks. So basically, you would be left with whatever you have in your pocket when something like this occurs. And we're hearing that, you know, this is becoming more and more of a possibility. We know now for a fact, and this was the government called vandalism, which is typical of our government. This was the government of California. Its federal government went along with it. Back about a year ago, in fact, almost exactly a year ago, there was a coordinated terrorist attack on a power plant in California, specifically in the Silicon Valley. This was done by 6 to 7 individuals who were armed with automatic weapons, AK-47s, automatic AK-47s, and they went in to the underground, cut the telephone lines so the people at the power plant couldn't call for help, and then they opened fire with their weapons on the power plant, specifically on the transformers. They knocked out some of them. This went on for, this was a sustained attack that went on for about 20 minutes. Fortunately, they were forced to withdraw before they were able to knock out the power grid in that area. But they were close. This was a test run. They all got away. Nobody's ever been arrested. The authorities appear to have no idea who the heck did this. But it was obviously a terrorist attack, and it was obviously a dry run. If they can do it there, they can do it anywhere in the country. And if they have enough of them out there, do it in a coordinated manner, they can knock out the power grids for weeks or months. An EMP attack would take out the power grids for years. All of this is a possibility. And even a cyber attack. I mean, all of our power plants, particularly our nuclear plants, or operate on computers. They're run by computers. They're not run by people. And cyber attacks are occurring on this country, not just one or two a day. We're talking about hundreds a day, attacking not only private businesses, but attacking our government, attacking our electric grids. These are test runs. Eventually, somebody's going to figure out how to knock out power plants in this country. Now, that may be for a shorter period of time. It may just be a few months. But what happens during those few months? Again, you can't withdraw any money. your cash on hand is what you're going to have to spend. You're not going to be able to get gasoline for your vehicle, even if your vehicle's working, because the gas pumps all operate on electricity. That's how they pump the gas into your car. There's not going to be any gasoline. There's not going to be any money available. And within a matter of days, the grocery stores will be empty. They're not going to be able to get gas on their for their trucks to transport more food, particularly to stores in outlying areas. You know, this all falls in with the Communist Manifesto, the design that eventually this country will fall because they are going to cause an economic collapse or put us in a situation where we have riots in the street, we have food riots, we have people who are starving to death, we have people who there will be no transportation available, hospitals will be operating on generators, and that won't last very long because most of the generators, if not all of them, operate on gas or diesel fuel. That won't be available. People are going to be dying in the thousands. This is to cause chaos in this country. And, of course, how would our president respond to any of this? We know how he'll respond. He'll declare martial law. He'll declare himself dictator for life. He will probably blame any attack on the Tea Party, start arresting people who disagree with him, set up concentration camps for all intents and purposes, try to use the military, and of course they've armed FEMA and they're arming DHS, use them as shock troops to shut down any resistance to what he's doing. All of this is a real possibility. And when Kevin Freeman comes on the show, he's going to talk about what he's found. And this guy is not some lunatic that wears a tin hat around. This guy is very well respected. He has done work with the Department of Defense on a lot of studies about this type of attack. The Department of Defense has decided that what he has been saying is true. They are basically predicting the distinct possibility of one of these types of attacks or more within a few years. This man, Kevin Freeman, has been on CNN. He's been interviewed on Fox News on several occasions, on Fox Business Channel. He's been on, you know, a number of talk shows around the country. He makes speeches all over the country about this, and he's written several powerful books, one of which I just bought yesterday because I'm going to read that book, and I'm going to follow the plan he's got in there. And when I have him on, I'll have him talk about his book so people can order them. But we have a serious and deadly situation developing out there. And our government is doing nothing. The Department of Defense is saying this is a danger. And here we had a stimulus package a few years ago when the Obama administration was aware of the possibilities of our transformers going down, our electric grid going down. And they spent tons of money on things like Solyndra, a company that went bankrupt, though the people who ran the company and owned the company didn't lose anything because their loans were guaranteed by the Obama administration, by federal taxpayer money. So the investors in the company lost, but the primary owners of the company went out whole because they were supporters of Obama. They contributed to his campaign, the Democratic Party campaign. So money went to things like that, and with a simple $500 million, they could have put devices on all of the transformers in this country that would keep them, protect them from certain types of attacks, particularly EMP attacks, because these devices would be able to restart the transmitters. And Kevin will talk more about that when I have him on, I'm sure. But the government decided not to do that, has not been interested in doing it since all this began coming to light. And, you know, Obama's got other things to spend the money on. I mean, you know, $500 million, that's a couple of vacations for him. He's not going to give up a couple of vacations for he and Michelle and the kids and the aunt and the grandma and, you know, whoever else they haul around with them when they go on these trips. He's not going to give that up just to save the American people, to save our electric grids. He's not interested in saving us. He's interested in destroying us. This is who that man is. This is what he's doing. So all I can tell you is prepare yourselves. Go out and buy some food that has a long shelf life, MREs, freeze-dried food, etc. Buy enough to last your family for at least 6 months. Stockpile water to last your family for a long period of time, because that's something else that's going to go down. The electricity goes down, the water supply is going to go down, because most of your water companies operate the water supply with computers, they're done electrically. That's how the water is pumped into the system. So your water supply is going to go down. Be prepared to protect yourself against looters and against people who will use this opportunity to become outlaws, the criminal element. Buy a firearm. Buy ammunition if you can find it. I can tell you that from personal experience right now, there is no ammunition available, 22 caliber ammunition available at all. There hasn't been in months. I ran across some by accident one day in a Walmart. I happened to be there when they had got a couple boxes in. They were unloading those boxes, and those boxes sold out within a matter of minutes. But that's the only way you can find it, just by luck. But there are weapons out there that you can get ammunition for, and you need to look into that. You need to look at what's available in your area. You need to buy something to protect your family. And also ammunition may very well be the next currency in this country, because if the power goes down, if we had no banks, if we had no credit cards, we're going to be doing a barter system. And you may be able to barter with somebody for food for your family or for water or for medicine, but you're going to have something to barter with. Ammunition could very well be exactly what you need. So, you know, I'm encouraging people to go out and buy ammunition, to buy weapons, to get ready to protect yourselves. A generator is a good idea, but you have to understand that generators, unless you get a solar generator, and those are usually very expensive and produce very small amounts of power. But if you get a generator that produces electrical power through the use of gasoline or diesel, you may not be able to find it. And stockpiling, it really doesn't work, because most people don't realize that gasoline now, the oil companies are designing gas, providing us gasoline that does not have a shelf life for all intents and purposes. It used to be that you could fill up a 5-gallon can of gasoline and store it in your garage, and you might not, if you didn't need to use it for a couple of years, it would still be fine. Now, if you put it in your garage, it's going to last about a month or two, and then it's not going to be fine. It will not only not start your vehicle, but it could very well damage your vehicle. Now, there are extenders that you can buy at places like Home Depot that will extend the life of the gasoline, but nobody seems to be sure for how long. So it's something else to look at, is a possibility of a generator. But the main thing is to be prepared to defend your family. And let's take our first break, and then we'll talk more.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Who is or what is USJF? It is a nonprofit legal organization founded to protect our rights through the U.S. Constitution. Active in educating the public, USJF has also contributed directly and indirectly to legal defense efforts in many celebrated cases involving fundamental conservative principles. Cases of note include the Mount Soledad Cross case, the Arizona immigration law case, the Obama eligibility cases, the NDAA illegal detention issue, and many more. Help this nonprofit as they help you. Visit www.usjf.net today.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
You know, when I talk about things like this, and Kevin has the same reaction when he talks about it, is people basically don't want to listen. They don't want to hear about the possibility of this country being wiped out by an EMP attack or wiped out by some other thing. Does it, our electric grid in, a cyber attack, or even localized terrorist attacks? Because they say, well, who would do this to us? Why would anybody do this? Well, we know the terrorists would do it. We know Al-Qaeda would love to do it. But, you know, the president assures us that Al-Qaeda's dead, even though the hearings this morning on the Benghazi attack indicate that the CIA knew from the beginning that Al-Qaeda was involved in the attack on our consulate in Benghazi. Yet they hid that information, apparently. Didn't hide it from the president. The president knew. They didn't hide it from Susan Rice. She knew. Secretary of Defense knew. But they tried to hide it from the American public. So terrorists are out there who would do this. But in addition, look who has the capability. Look who has nuclear weapons that could be used in an EMP attack. North Korea. Iran, I'm convinced, already has at least one nuclear weapon. What they're working on now is the ability to deliver it somehow. And if they get a hold of a long-range missile from the, and they work with the North Koreans, they could buy one from the North Koreans. They could use that to attack Israel or possibly to attack the United States. The Chinese certainly have the capability. The Russians have the capability. And by the way, the Chinese and the Russians have been, trying to get the Chinese to go along with the economic attacks on this country that would basically destroy our currency, to stop American currency, the American dollar, from being the standard currency used throughout the world, and they would want to change it to something else. And if that happens, then the money that you have in your savings accounts, the money that you have in IRAs, the money you have in retirement accounts, is going to be not worthless, but pretty close. It's going to devalue it considerably. It's going to cause a disaster for our economy. That's something else. You know, they're working on that. The Russians are trying to get the Chinese to do this. The Chinese are only hesitant because they want to see what the advantage to them would be. And how that would help them, since we owe them so much money. It's not just the people in this country who buy Chinese products. It's the government that owes a lot of money to the Chinese government. So, you know, we have the enemies out there working on it. As a matter of fact, in my book, Amayeli, A Story of America, you can go and read that book, and I wrote this book, and I've told you this before. I wrote it 25 years ago. And at that point, the setting was we had a president of the United States who was weak on defense, who did not believe that Soviet Union was a real threat, who was a left-wing type of guy, and he had the media backing him up, and he decided he got Congress to back him up, and he cut our defenses considerably, just like Obama is doing right now. Cut our defenses almost in half. Destroy the morale of our military. And I point out that what happens after that is the Soviet Union at that point, they were the protagonists in that version of the book, they launch an attack using space-based weapons. And in one chapter of the book, I describe how we have B-52 bombers, or B-1 bombers in the air, as we have done for years. We always have some up in the air. And they're on routine missions, just flying around, and all of a sudden they fall out of the sky. Why? Because something knocks out their engines, shuts off the power, and they fall out of the sky. And the same thing happens to our ships out at sea. I put the book in a drawer, basically forgot about it, and didn't think it might be worth it in publishing. And then about 5 years ago, when my late wife was dying of cancer, she had always loved the book, and she wanted me, because I was home taking care of her, she wanted me to update that book and get it published. So I did. I promised her I would, and I did that. I updated the book, and I made the Chinese the protagonist. And by the way, I had a reader of the book call me not long ago and say that I had scared the heck out of her because she was in the process of reading the book and all of a sudden heard on the news that the Chinese had launched space platforms that were capable of carrying various weapons. And she says, that's exactly what you say happened in the book. And that is what happens. Bottom line is the book shows us being vulnerable and our enemies attacking us, people that want to conquer us attacking. Not to destroy the United States economy necessarily, but to take it over, to take us over and make us slaves. And that's what happens in the book. But the book is primarily about the American people who rise up to fight for our country, to win back our freedom. So it's Ama Yaley, A Story of America, and that's AmaYhEli, Ama Yaley. You might want to get it. It's now available as an e-book on Amazon. And by the way, thank you for people, to any of you who bought it, because that book and my other book, The Mortarman, that's also on Amazon, have just gone ballistic. The Mortarman has been in the as high as the top 0.5% of sales. Out of 1.1 million e-books on Amazon, The Mortarman has been in the top 1% for the past 2 weeks and has been in the top 2% for months. The Ama Yaley has gotten into the top 5% of sales. So there are a lot of books being sold out there, and a lot of people are reading them, and we're getting a lot of good reviews. In fact, I'm going to brag a little bit because I got a remarkable review just the other night on Amazon. I had actually 2 5-star reviews in a row within a few minutes of each other. One of those came from a noted author, John Trudell, who is a professor emeritus from Oregon State University. He is a prolific writer. He writes some tremendous novels, and he mentions those in the reviews, thank goodness, so you can go on and take a look. But he's well-respected, well-read, and he thinks that my book, The Mortarman, about my dad's janitor in World War II, is just a remarkable book. And he gave it a 5-star rating and a rave review. So thanks to him, and thanks to all of you who are buying the books. But the point about Ama Yaley is this. I deal with a situation that could very well happen in this country. We have enemies out there. We have enemies that want to destroy us. We have a president of the United States who doesn't seem to care. I don't think he's oblivious to the threat. I don't think he cares. I just think he doesn't care about the threats. In fact, the threats may be something he wants to have occur to help him become a dictator. But in the meantime, he's not waiting on a foreign power to act. He's setting up his dictatorship right here in this country by daily violating the Constitution. Article 2 of the Constitution provides the President of the United States shall enforce the laws passed by Congress. It does not say he can make laws. It does not say he can bypass laws. It does not say he can ignore the laws and decide which ones to enforce and which ones not to enforce. It certainly doesn't say he can do something like what he's done on the immigration front, where 68,000 felons, we're talking criminals, have been released by the federal government, put back on the streets of America. These are illegals who are here. They are convicted felons. They have been released and put back on our streets. Thousands of them. Some of them convicted of rape. Some of murder. A lot of them have been deported. They've come back in this country. Now they've been arrested again, and they're not being deported. They're being allowed to roam freely and being allowed to sign up for Obamacare. we'll talk about that in a few minutes because this is something really ludicrous. But he's not enforcing the immigration laws. What's even worse is he is bypassing Congress and making new laws through executive order or making new laws with his agencies. We're talking like EPA, Health and Human Resources, Health and Human Services, I should say, ATF, Department of Justice. In the last couple of weeks, we've been very busy at the United States Justice Foundation dealing with the tremendous number of new regulations being proposed out there by all these federal agencies. And we're talking about the Internal Revenue Service, which basically wants to shut down free speech for conservative organizations. And by the way, for those of you that live in Minnesota, you better keep an eye on what's happening in your legislature. The legislature is trying to set up provisions to restrict political speech. This is their definition. This is what they call it, political speech, which means conservative groups, and this is specifically aimed at the NRA, groups that support the Second Amendment will not be allowed to run advertisements, will not be allowed to speak, have members speak in public, and will not be allowed to do anything to try to influence elections in the state of Minnesota. They will be prohibited from exercising their free speech. This is what the IRS rules basically propose too. If adopted, I'll have to shut down this radio show unless I do nothing but talk about gardening. Because for 60 days prior to an election, the United States Justice Foundation is a 501c3 organization, which means that contributions to us are tax deductible. Because we're an educational organization and a legal organization that works in law cases. But we also want to educate the American public. That's why I do this show. That's why I do 10 to 15 radio interviews with other shows a week. And that's why I go out and make all the speeches I make. I made one last night, as a matter of fact, here in Texas, but I've also made them in Florida. I've made them in Missouri. I've been around the country making speeches. So if you're interested in having me make a speech to your group, then you can contact me through the U.S. Justice Foundation, or I believe David, has a speakers bureau set up. It would be probably better to contact me through the David Speakers Bureau at America's Web Radio. But the whole idea is to get the word out. And I basically would be shut down. I couldn't make those speeches. I couldn't do the radio interviews. I couldn't talk about issues affecting the Constitution or issues affecting our form of government or the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Tenth Amendment. I would be prohibited from exercising free speech. And this is what the IRS regulations call for. But there's something else going on out there. And, I've been talking a lot on this show about what's happening to our veterans. America's heroes are being denied their constitutional rights by the Veterans Administration. And this is being done deliberately. This is being done in a way to keep them from owning firearms. There are 21 million of us out there, 21 million veterans. We all took the same oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we believe in that oath. And now let's take our second break, and then we'll talk more about this.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation. which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Talking about the veterans, talking about the veterans being denied Second Amendment rights. And basically, to sum it up, here's what's happening. Veterans are getting letters from the VA saying that because of your physical or mental disabilities, we're considering declaring you incompetent to handle your own financial affairs and appointing a fiduciary to represent you. Well, the fiduciary program has been around for years, and it was designed to help elderly veterans who might be suffering from dementia or some other disability that would keep them from successfully handling their finances and paying their bills on time and this sort of thing. So the program was originally designed to be a fairly good program, but now all of a sudden we have a total different situation. Veterans are being declared incompetent because they have minor PTSD, because they let their spouses pay the family bills, and I've seen the letters telling them this, being declared incompetent because they may have suffered from depression at some point. I mean, you come back from a war. You lost a buddy in combat. You're going to be depressed. You're going to feel down. If they say something like that to the VA, they will be put on the list of people who cannot legally purchase firearms. Because the letter they get, and again, I've got copies of the letters, and if you want a copy, you can email me, and I will give you a copy. You go to usjf.net, and you can let me know that you would like to have a copy of these letters. I will send you one. But the letter goes on to say that once you've been declared incompetent by the VA, you can no longer own, possess, or transport firearms or ammunition. If you do, you're guilty of a felony. There's no due process here. The veterans are put into a position where they have to defend themselves at their own expense, and the burden of proof is on them to prove that they are not incompetent. We have, last count, about 159,000 veterans on the NICS list. This is a list of people that cannot own firearms and are legally purchased firearms in this country. 99.9% of them, we estimate, do not belong on there. The criteria for being on that list has always been be convicted of a felony, which these veterans have not been, being a known and persistent user of illegal drugs, which most of these veterans have not done, or be adjudicated to be mentally ill to the point of being a danger to themselves or others. There's no adjudication process here. PTSD is not classified as a mental illness, yet veterans are being put on the list because they have PTSD issues. Everybody in this country can have some PTSD issues at some point. If you lose a loved one, if you're in an automobile accident, if something happens traumatic in your life, you lose your job, you lose your home, you can suffer from PTSD. But in the case of veterans, that's being used to hammer these veterans and to classify them as mentally incompetent and to take away their Second Amendment rights. Now, the VA's taken it a step further. And this is just incredible to me, and I've just learned about this in the last couple of days. You may have heard that the VA has been criticized on numerous occasions for the fact that so many veterans out there are not getting their benefits. And in applying for benefits, some of them, it's over a year since they've applied. So they're not receiving the benefits they're entitled to, the benefits they were promised when they joined the military. And the backlog can be as long as 2 years. And VA's been criticized for that. So what's the VA done? Well, they set up a whole new situation of paperwork that has to be filled out by the veterans. It can be done online if veterans have computers, but a lot of your older World War II veterans don't even know how to use a computer, much less have one in their home. And certainly your homeless veterans who are trying to get benefits, they don't have a computer, so they have to get the regular paperwork. But even if they have a computer, this paperwork is onerous, it's difficult to understand, and veterans are having problems filling the paperwork out properly. The VA response to that is, if you are having problems filling out their application for benefits, then you are incompetent to handle your own financial affairs, and you must be put on the NICS list. That's the list of people that cannot legally purchase firearms in this country. This is happening. This is a fact. We have one lawsuit at the USJF against the VA, which we have won, forcing them to turn over some documents to us. But we're going to want additional documents now, based on what is happening here. We want to file a second suit. I've got pleadings that I'm drawing up right as we speak to get an injunction to stop this from happening. But we need some financial help. We're not going to charge these veterans or their families anything. We need for people to step forward and send us a donation. Go to usjf.net, and you can donate online to us, or you can find out the address to where to send the donations. And you can, if you so desire, designate these for this particular case. And they will be new. Your donation will be used for nothing else. Your donation is tax deductible. Now, we don't have big contributors out there, but we need some people to donate. If you can donate $5, that's great. If you can donate $500, that's also great. If you can donate $5,000, if I could, you know, we estimate we need $250,000 to go forward with these two lawsuits. If I had $50,000 right now in our account designated for the veterans' cases, we can get everything started. We can file the pleadings. We can get this case going, and then we can continue raising money to keep it going, because it'll probably end up in the Supreme Court, let's face it. We know the government's going to fight us on this. Obama's going to fight us on this. He's going to fight us tooth and nail. And I'll explain more in a minute of why he's doing this and why they're going to fight us so hard and why it's important to you, whether you're a veteran or not. But if you are a veteran, you don't have to donate to us. You can, to help out your fellow veterans. And if you're not, you know, ever received any of these letters, then send us some money to help your fellow veterans. But if you're a veteran who has been received one of these letters, if you have been denied your rights, and some of you may have found out when you went to buy a firearm and you filled out the form and you were told you were rejected because you were mentally defective, and you've never been diagnosed with anything, nobody from the VA ever told you you were mentally defective, you may have at some point told somebody at the VA that you were depressed. Or they may have gone back and looked at your paperwork that you filed and said, you know, some of this is not exactly right. He must be incompetent to handle his own affairs. Anybody out there being affected by this, contact me at usjf.net. Call our office. Tell them you want to talk to me. We'll return your telephone call. Email us. Let us know what's going on. Myself or my assistant will get back to you as soon as possible. There will be no charge to you for any of this. We are doing this to try to protect our veterans and try to protect everybody else. Because I mentioned I've been working on some stuff for the last few days, last couple of weeks. The USJF has filed opposition to two more sets of proposed regulations. One is by Health and Human Services. And the other two regulations are by the Department of Justice through the ATF. That's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. These regulations are directly designed to not only increase the number of veterans who cannot own firearms in this country, but to put many people in this country who are civilians, who have never been in the military, to take your weapons away from you also. Now, how are they doing this? Well, we have something out there called the HIPAA law, and that is basically a law that was passed by Congress to protect your privacy rights to your medical records, to say that the states, your private hospitals or doctors, cannot just share your records with anybody. Insurance companies can't share your records with just anybody. They have to have your permission. There are some exceptions to the rule, but primarily it's designed to keep your medical records private. About a month ago, when I saw this coming, Obama signed an executive order amending the HIPAA law. Now, he has no right to do that. Any law passed by Congress can only be amended by Congress. But Obama, we know how he cares about the Constitution. So he signed that HIPAA law, or that HIPAA amendment. And basically it instructed the HHS to do exactly what it's doing, to propose regulations that bypass the privacy rights that you have in cases of what they call mental defectiveness. If you have ever in your lifetime told a doctor that you were feeling depressed, whether you were treated for it, whether it was temporary and you were untreated for it, whether the doctor decided, to just help you work it out, you didn't have to see a psychiatrist. We're talking about your own family doctor. If you ever told a nurse, a practitioner, that you were feeling depressed, and that put in your medical records, they are now going to not just encourage, but try to force the states, because it's up to the states to sue to report to the NCIS, to the FBI, to be put on the NICS list, the National Instant Criminal Background Check list. And the states usually base that, they're supposed to base that not on your medical records, on your history, if you have been declared a mental defective to the point of being a danger to yourselves or others. Some states don't report much of this at all. We certainly do not report people who've just been treated for depression. They're not even looking for that. Now the states are being told to report that. If you've ever taken certain medications, it looks like if you had ADD as a child, ADHD, you took medication. If you've ever apparently had trouble filling out any kind of documents for the federal government, you can be reported. The bottom line is that they are broadening the definition, or they're amending the HIPAA Act to force your medical records to no longer be private. Your records are going to be going to the FBI. You're going to be put on the list. You're not going to be notified you're going to be put on the list. You'll find out that you've been put on the list of people that cannot legally purchase firearms when you go to try to buy a firearm. This is exactly what they're trying to do with these new rules and regulations. That's just the ones from HHS. The ones from alcohol, tobacco, and firearms are even worse. And I personally prepared a memorandum on that one, because they put these regulations out and then people have time, they give people a chance to comment on it. Now, this is the Obama administration. They're going to ignore any comments that are negative. But we still feel obligated to put the information out there. So we filed an opposition earlier this month to the HHS regulations, and now I've written an opposition to the ATF regulations, which we're going to be filing sometime in the next couple of days, because the deadline is April 7th for filing those. So we're going to be filing that, and the ATF regulations are in line with the effort to disarm Americans. And after the break, I'll tell you exactly what's going on.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Well, the ATF regulations, again, I have written an opposition to them, but the ATF regulations, like I said, are exactly in line with what they're trying to do. And what these regulations change are the definitions of mental defectiveness to the point of being a danger to yourself or others. The Department of Justice, Eric Holder specifically, has already changed the rules when it comes to adjudication. It used to be that you had to be adjudicated by a court of law or an administrative court. You had to have a full-scale hearing, and it had to be proven that you were a danger of mentally ill to the point of being in danger of yourselves or others, and that made you incompetent. Now, with these new regulations coming in, the way they're worded, they use terms like, instead of mental defective, people that, for example, are found not guilty in a court of law for lack of mental responsibility, or if you're diagnosed with lack of mental responsibility. What does that mean? What does it mean, lack of mental responsibility? I'll tell you what it meant in Nazi Germany and why they use this, psychiatry as a weapon of tyranny. And I've written an article in my blog about that. What it meant in Nazi Germany was you were mentally defective if you opposed Adolf Hitler, if you didn't like the Nazis, if you didn't like what was being done to the Jews, if you didn't believe in the concentration camps, you didn't like your country going to war, invading other countries, you were mentally defective. You had a lack of mental responsibility, and you would be picked up. You wouldn't be taken to a court. You wouldn't be adjudicated. You would just be put in a mental institution or concentration camp. This is what these ATF regulations are designed to do. They look innocuous until you start reading them very carefully, because what they do, in addition to changing the definition of mentally defective and changing who can adjudicate you, because, by the way, under the definition of who can adjudicate you to be mentally defective, anybody that works for the federal government can do that. What's happening to the veterans? Who's doing it to the veterans? Not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, not a medical doctor, not even a nurse practitioner. The decision is being made, and we've confirmed this, by contract workers, ill-trained for the most part, unsupervised, who work from their homes, who are sent a file, and they have your medical records, if you're a veteran, they're sent a file, and they're told to find a way to declare you incompetent. Sometimes they won't even have an application for it. They'll just do it. They're not going to talk to you. You're never going to hear from these people. You're not going to know who they are, because VA won't tell you. But under the definitions the ATF is proposing, or the rules they're proposing, this is fine. They can continue to do this to you. And now they can do it to everybody in the country. Anybody can adjudicate you to be mentally defective or have lack of mental responsibility and tell you you can no longer purchase or own firearms. But they take it even a step further. Under the definition with the NICS list right now, if you have been involuntarily committed to a mental institution, and again, you're supposed to be adjudicated to be mentally ill to the point of being a danger to yourself or others, then you are put on the NICS list. Well, this definition is now being broadened to include outpatient commitment, involuntary outpatient commitment. Although the way we read it and the way we understand it, it could be easily stretched to be voluntary commitment. Now, what does involuntarily mean? Well, they're talking that if you're an outpatient and you're sent to see a psychiatrist, you don't have to be found to be mentally ill. You don't have to be adjudicated to be mentally ill. The fact that you've ever seen a psychiatrist makes you mentally incompetent to handle a firearm. How would this work? A good example is family court. I practiced law for many, many years, and I did some family court work. I hated it, but I had to do it just to pay the bills. Help pay the bills. But what you have in family court are situations that often arise where a judge will order father and mother and the children to all be psychologically evaluated, particularly when there's a custody dispute. The idea is to have him psychologically evaluated to decide who is best fit to have custody, to find out if there are any abuse issues within the children, and, you know, just basically to make sure that everybody's okay and that they don't have to base the decision of who gets custody of the children or who gets visitation based on some mental instability that could be a danger to the children. This is routine. It's a court order, so it's not considered voluntary. This happens all the time. Yet now, that will be a determining factor in whether or not you can own a firearm, because you have been involuntarily had to submit to psychiatric or psychological evaluation. It will not matter what the outcome was. It will not matter if you and your children and your spouse have all been found to be perfectly mentally competent, you will still be put on the list. Juveniles, because this is something that the ATF wants us specifically to comment on. What about juveniles under the age of 18? You go to juvenile court, or your parents are having problems with you. You become unruly. You got ADD or something like that. You get sent to a psychiatrist by court order or because your parents take you. Well, if your parents take you to a psychiatrist, you're under the age of 18, you probably don't want to be there. So that's an involuntary commitment. Those records will be sent to the NICS list, to the FBI, and you will be put on the list of people who cannot legally purchase firearms. Needless to say, what's happening here is directly in line with what was done in Nazi Germany. What has been done was done in the Soviet Union, what's been done in Cuba, in China. They are using the mental illness card to try not only to disarm Americans, but how will this affect you in other ways? I mean, once you get on the NICS list, we also have reports now that veterans who are being placed on the NICS list are automatically being put on the list of people that cannot fly. And some have reported to us that they have passports and their passports are being canceled. We're even getting reports that families of veterans who are being declared incompetent are being told that since you live with a veteran who's been declared incompetent by the VA and cannot own a firearm, you can't own a firearm either. That means spouses and children are also being disarmed. They get by with doing this for the veterans. Well, we can see what's happening. They're already working to do it to the rest of us. And I fall in the veteran category. I'm not in the VA system, so they haven't come after me yet. But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they're monitoring this program, and I'm sure they're trying to figure out right now how to declare me mentally incompetent. Because obviously I oppose the Obama regime, and so obviously under their definitions, I'm pretty much have lack of mental responsibility. I mean, I own firearms, and I oppose Obama. We already have Obama trying to nominate a person to be the Surgeon General of the United States who is adamantly opposed to private firearm ownership, wants to see the Second Amendment abolished, and wants to disarm Americans. And we have the CDC that has been considering declaring the very fact that you own a firearm, particularly if you own one, have one in your home where there are small children, declaring you to be mentally defective for that reason. That's mental irresponsibility, according to them. So this is what's going on. And this is why we need to keep up the fight. And why the USJF, we're working very hard to fight. Because otherwise, what I talked about in Amayeli, a story of America, not only will that possibly come true, but we won't have the weapons to defend ourselves if it does. We won't have the weapons to defend ourselves if Obama declares himself a dictator and sends in the Department of Homeland Security to start arresting Americans who disagree with him and taking us and putting us in mental institutions. This is reality. This is no longer, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's no longer something that might not happen. It's reality. If you want to read my blog, go to Michael Connelly, connelly.jigsy.com. You can also go to usjf.net and go to the About Michael Connelly Executive Director section. You can find the link there to the blog. On my blog, you'll find the link to this show so you can send it out to other people and encourage them to start listening to it. As I said, sometime in the next week or two, and I'll be talking to them later today, Kevin Freeman will be on. That's going to be an important show. But we try to cover something on every show. Also, order copies of my booklet, The Constitution, Our Constitution. You can go to constitution.jigsy.com, or you can order it through my personal website at michaelconnelly.jigsy.com. Get them to hand out to your friends, to carry around with you, to give to schools. And thank you for listening today, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Watchdog.